You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the success strategies and the mindsets of the top 1% so you can amplify your business and your life today. I'm really excited for today's guest. He is the marketing advisor to millionaires, CEOs, celebrities, and thousands of smart entrepreneurs like yourself who are crazy enough to listen to his rants. He's also the guy who is called up secretly in the middle of the night by some of the biggest names in business to give them timely advice and clarity when it's most needed. He is also the author of 3 books and runs a wildly successful training firm with his business partner Macaulay called Opposed Media, where they hold workshops and training events all across the world. He's also regarded by others as the king of copy and the Dan Kennedy of today. His marketing campaigns have generated millions for clients over the last 10 years, including one that took someone from $178,000 a month to over $1.5 million in a month in less than 100 days. So I'm excited to welcome Mitch Miller to Making Bank.
Now I have to live up to that.
Well, thanks, your assistant sent that over, so maybe it didn't vet it in time.
I'm really happy to be here, man.
Well, cool. So I guess give us a little bit of background. I mean, how did you get started on the whole path to copy and kind of in this whole entrepreneur venture that you're down this today?
It was kind of an accident. I mean, I almost died when I was 21. So if that didn't happen, then none of this business shit would have happened. So what happened was, I was in rock bands all my teenage years, and because of that, I enjoyed the guitar more than school. So I never went to school, never went to high school, any of that. And so I never graduated high school. It was all partying, you know, drugs, rock and roll, women, you know, multiple parties, drugs, all that stuff. Anyway, when I was 21, I had a heart attack from doing those things in excess. And it was pretty crazy. And at the time, the band was pretty successful. I mean, we were offered a record deal by Chad Kroeger, who was the singer of Nickelback, which was the largest band in the world at the time. We were on the radio already touring and stuff like that. But our singer ended up having a mental breakdown and he left the band and he was the chief songwriter. And so that plus the heart attack, it was just kind of like everything was over. And I was like, man, this. And so I was 21 when I had the heart attack. So that I was okay. Like the heart, like 100% recovered. And I was out of the hospital in a couple of days. You know, young people are resilient. So it was pretty crazy. So that was like the wake up call. And it actually woke me up. And what's cool is like you talk about the 1%, like the entrepreneur is a person who's like, the way I almost describe it is like that person's awake. You know what I mean? So that woke me up. And before that, I wasn't even remotely awake. I was having fun, but I was, you know, the furthest thing from wanting to improve myself or anything like that. So that's when I decided I wanted to do something different. And I was awake. So I was looking for something, you know, when the student's ready, the teacher appears. So I found Tony Robbins somehow and Robert Kiyosaki and those guys were talking about like, you don't have to be the same person you are. You know, Robert Kiyosaki said, you don't want $1 million. You want to, that's not the right question. It's not how I can make $1 million. It's how can I become the type of person that's worth $1 million or worth having $1 million hit him. And I was like, oh shit. And Tony Robbins, like, you don't have to be the same person you've been. It's like, I don't care what your background is. You can be whatever you want. So I was like, whoa.
Mind then, blown.
mine was blown. I was like, holy shit. I don't have to be me. I can like be a better version of me. And so to make a long story short, Tony Robbins interviewed Jay Abraham on one of his interview sessions and it changed everything. I was like, marketing, business, this is so exciting. And marketing has been my passion ever since then, since 2005 or 2004 or whatever that was. And so I went down the path of changing myself, trying to build businesses, failed 9 times, trying to build all sorts of businesses from landscaping companies to building pallets to online companies and all this and failing and trying and, you know, walking into businesses cold, trying to sell them stuff and basically trying everything under the sun and not having it work. What I was saying or what I was doing wasn't right. It was because I was still me. You know, people look at me, they didn't want to do business with me still because I was still me. And so, yeah, over the last 10, 12 years, I've really just, my passion has been learning about like, and really studying as a student obsessively marketing and advertising. And that paired with the entrepreneurialism, I think has helped me succeed. And now in a way where I understand this stuff at such a crazy deep level because of my obsession for studying it for so long.
No, that's awesome. I mean, that you became, you know, that obsession, you know, is now turned, you know, that became that passion and what, you know, where your heart and where your mind and everything is now. I do remember a cool story you had told me a little bit about was when you had your landscaping business and you were trying to figure out, hey, how can I generate revenue? And you talked about writing this letter to help other landscapers, I think it was. Do you remember?
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden you had to, like, this little seminar business helping landscapers.
Yeah, and that was totally, that was about a year after the landscape, because winter came along and I didn't want to, in Canada, you don't do landscaping in the winter, you have to, like, shovel sidewalks. I didn't want to do that. So I'm like, oh, maybe I'll create a seminar for other landscapers so that they can hit the ground running next season.
Yep. Well, and that's the cool thing, though, was, you know, as you were moving down that path, you know, in finding out who you were and, you know, discovering kind of your passion and your focus, you started to move yourself in that direction. So whether it was, you know, creating that marketing and creating those sales, you know, pieces to help other landscapers, you know, which now today you're out helping other people grow their business. You're helping other people, you know, move their businesses forward through coaching and consulting, which was back kind of that prelude that you did, you know, years ago that led you down that path now. So that's pretty awesome.
Whoa, you just gave me some introspection into myself that I didn't even know I had. Some reverse going on. But I think what it really is, man, is that I actually really enjoy teaching. And I think if you're gonna fucking teach people, you got to teach them the right thing. So, like, you know, there's a guy who's teaching just so he can make a buck and sell his courses and just make some money online and shit. And it's not that there's anything wrong with that if what he's selling is good. But I truly see myself, especially when I get older, because right now I still see myself as young and reckless and whatever. As like, I want to be one of those philosophers that who really change the game and who really, you know, take the body of knowledge that we have today and just really take that torch and just move it on and just do something more meaningful than just selling a few info products or something.
So, you know, what's your thoughts? Cause I know there's so many people, and you mentioned a minute ago was coming out with courses and, you know, they go and they get a big Facebook ad win and now they're like the super guru of Facebook and stuff. And it's like, you just see them in your newsfeed and all online. And I mean, I guess I'd like to hear what your thoughts are. And I've talked to some other people about it, but it, you know, and how can people sift through all that to find the true deal.
It's so tough, man. It's so tough because, like, the 1%, the true entrepreneurs watching this right now, they know that you only want to sift through it to find out who you can fucking pay the money to hire it, not who I can buy the course or torrent the course or pirate the course so I could try to do it myself. The true entrepreneurs don't want to do it himself. Like, I don't think you want to sit there, Josh, at this point and fucking place your pixels and run your ad campaigns. I mean, you would go crazy. You wouldn't have time for your kids. You have time for nothing. Like, the purpose of being a business owner is like a traffic cop. So you got to know who to employ. So I think the first step is to keep your head into entrepreneur mode and be like, I'm only going to try to find out, like, I'm not going to get sucked into the copy just so I can buy this course and try to put it into practice. It's like, no, I want to find out who the real deals are through referrals. Because I think that's a big thing with you too, is like, if you want to find a true professional for a piece of your business, you're going to ask your friends and say, who do you know who's good, who's like the real deal at this? So that's the first thing, is understanding that true entrepreneurs don't get sucked into the BizOp internet, because there's a lot of tools we can take from the BizOp, the internet marketing community, but understand that mostly that's for people who will never, ever do anything in their lives anyway. Those courses are for people. So it doesn't mean you can't take things from there. It doesn't mean there aren't real deals in there, but you want to dip your toes in and kind of take what you need and find the connections through there and use the tools, but understand that the BizOp world is different than us focused entrepreneurs, are two different things.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah. And I think, yeah, you're right. It's, you know, as entrepreneurs, it's finding those right people to help, you know, grow your business, whether it's with copy, whether it's with, you know, online ads and everything, you know, or whether it's financial numbers, you know, making sure you have the right team to know your numbers and everything, you know, to grow your business. So along your journey here, I guess, what really drove you towards focusing in on writing copy, becoming the Dan Kennedy of today and the copy king, you know?
Yeah. And so the whole, I never wanted to be a copy king. I never wanted to I found that I have a talent for writing. And so, I just started really doing it. And of course, if you do anything that you have some natural talent for, then, you know, you'll excel. But really what it was the frustration of nothing I was doing working. I was like, I'll try a Facebook ad, but it won't work. Or I'll try this funnel or this tool or this plugin. Like, I tried all these things, and it's all the things that they told us you can do online. You'd be able to make money. I wasn't making money and I couldn't figure it out. And I eventually, through lots of pain and lots of trial and error and lots of introspection, you come to realize that everything that you're sold is just the vehicle. You're sold all the mediums. You're sold the Facebook ad. You're sold the funnel. You're sold the landing page software. All those things are fine. They're awesome. They're great. They're tools, but they're tools and vehicles to house a message, which is an offer and a persuasive offering to a market. And what I figured out is the reason it's not working for me, and the reason it's not working for anyone listening to this who's trying to make stuff work but it's not working, is you're being sold the vehicle, but you haven't like solidified a persuasive message to go inside of that vehicle. And so I realized, oh shit, that's first. And I was like, that's really everything. I mean, man, like if you had the cure to cancer, i.e. something someone really desperately wanted, they wouldn't care if you wrote it in lipstick on a napkin. They, you know, if you could make them believe that it's the cure, they would take it and they would treasure that napkin. And so you don't have to have these crazy funnels. You don't have to have, if your message is so on point, people will find it, really. So that was the big aha moment for me. I was like, oh fuck, the message, the words, the copy, the pitch, that's really everything. At least that's first, before you think about anything else.
Yeah, no, definitely. And then I guess for me, so like, I struggle with writing. I mean, I can see if somebody writes something and I read back over it, I'm like, oh, well, no, here's what we can tweak here. Here's what we can tweak here and do that. But for me to sit down and like write a gigantic sales letter, I mean, I know that's where you do well at and it takes practice, but I guess it's, how do you kind of bridge that gap?
So I feel that there's a natural talent to that. And so I can't just be like, hey, just sit down, bro, with some whiskey if you need to and just hammer it up. Like, it's true. Van Gogh cut off his ear because if you read, like, this will actually help a lot. You go look up quotes about writing, the act of like the actual process of writing from the most famous and most legendary authors, and they tell you how excruciating it is. It is so goddamn painful. I mean, Kurt Vonnegut himself, he said writing is like, is like, I feel like I'm an armless, legless man with a crayon in his mouth. And it's so true. So it's very painful, and you critique yourself and you don't know what to put. And it's like it's a nightmare. However, I do still believe there's an innate talent involved. And I think that at this point, if like for someone like yourself, it's like, it's not worth it for you to do it. Does that mean it doesn't need to be done to its best ability? No, it still has to be done. It just means that you aren't the one doing it. It does mean that you can be the one tweaking it once it's there, but that just means as an entrepreneur, that's not something that you have a natural talent or inclination towards. Therefore you're not, or a passion towards, therefore you're not going to sit there and do it, which means you have to hire it out or hire someone on your team and groom them, because you're smart enough to know what good copy looks like. So that's one reason to study a lot of the copywriting, with if you're going to write or not. You study to know what's good or not, so you don't get hosed in hiring someone and don't get bullshitted, and so that you know what I mean.
Yep. No, that's cool. And so as an entrepreneur, you know, say somebody does, okay, they got a little bit of writing, you know, they can do that a little bit. What's the best way for them to move forward and really start to train and learn? Is it studying all the great ones out there? Is it just sitting down and doing it and really, or you know, I guess, how did you transform yourself, you know, over the last 10 years to really be so dialed in? I know you're obsessed on it and studied it.
Yeah, I know. So there's no real answer to that, but there are some things. So like, I do find that the people who say that writing comes so easy to them and it's easy to write are people typically who are very, very broke and do not write persuasive copy. That's one pattern. So if someone notices that in themselves, if they notice that someone that they work with, they say, no, writing copy is so easy. I would, you show me results, man. Like, cause I don't fucking believe you. Gary Halbert himself said he can't stand writing copy. And it's true. Nobody does. And yeah, he had to go be put in jail and bore on jail in order to, no, I'm just kidding. Anyway. So what really helped me was understanding that if the purpose of a persuasive message, because we're talking about copy and we're talking about selling shit as entrepreneurs, selling products and stuff like that. So if we're talking about selling something, in order to sell somebody something, that means they don't want it yet, or they're not completely convinced. So we have to convince them. Therefore, we're trying to get them to believe something that they don't, whether that's they need to buy right now or whether they need the product fully right now or whatever it is. So since we want someone to believe something that they don't currently believe, we can't just say, believe this, right? That's like the worst way to communicate. No, no, you really do need this. They're like, they're not going to be like, oh, really? Shit. Just thanks for telling me. It's like
Jedi don't, mind trick.
Yeah. It's like, no, yes, you do. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what's cool is since we want someone to believe something they don't already believe, the best way to make them believe it is by showing them how it's truthful in another context. So the only way we understand things, like a new idea or a new belief, is by relating it to something we already know. For example, I was in Cambodia and I was eating alligator. It was an alligator burger. And I was messaging my father and I was like, I'm eating alligator, man. And he's like, what does it taste like? And what's interesting is this is the way I described it. I said, well, it has the consistency of crab meat, the texture of crab meat, but the taste of chicken. And he goes, that's interesting. And I sat there and I go, that's interesting. The only way I could explain something new to him was by relating it to something that he already knew. And that's how I convince people in copy. So when I write this copy and I get people to believe stuff very quickly and very, especially on my Facebook posts, I can make shifts very quickly. The aha moments, so to speak, the aha moments come from analogies and metaphors. Because if I can explain to you that, you know, if I want you to believe a certain business concept and you're like, I don't know if I buy that, but if I show you how you're already doing it in your life, and like, if I show you how making coffee in a certain way every morning, that something that you're already doing is exactly like this business concept, you're forced to believe that I'm right. And you're forced to adopt that new piece because I related it to something that you're already doing.
Like making coffee and then putting your butter in for the bulletproof.
You're putting your butter in the coffee.
So yeah, it's I love Dave, so he's awesome. But he took something that people do every single day and a product that people have used every single day, and you know, based on, you know, where he had been at and everything else, combined that and showed the benefits and how it would.
You're right, that is a version of that. He absolutely did, because instead of saying, hey, like, I want you to get some medium chain triglyceride fats right into your brain every morning, people are gonna be like, oh, I don't know, a shot of coconut butter, like, I don't know, like, really, this MCT, what is this? But he's like, you drink coffee already, let's make it more awesome. It's like it's just like the easiest little bridge,
right? Yeah, just spin some butter in and boom, you got supercharged for the day. What would you say the three secrets or success strategies to writing copy, or maybe there's 5 points, but maybe, you know, what 3 to 5 points that you really look for when you're writing your copy? I want to make sure I do this, this, and this.
What I want to know is if I can know the personality of the person that I'm talking to, then I can freestyle and just sell the shit out of them. And so can anybody, really. So what I want to know is I want to know what their meta programs are. This goes back to NLP old school shit, but like, I want to know what their meta programs are. I want to know if they're primarily a moving away from person or a moving toward person, right? Are you as an entrepreneur, are you trying to build your business to get away from certain feelings, get away from poverty, get away from this? Or are you moving towards impact? Are you moving towards this? If you're a moving away from person, the copy is going to be completely different. The message is completely different. I'm going to be motivating you with fear and things like that. But if you're a towards person, you're going to be motivated not by fear. You're going to be annoyed, actually, and that won't work at all. So when in doubt with my copy, I always go back and go meta. Is this a person moving away from or moving towards person? Does this person fundamentally believe, like, and I say person as your avatar, your collective market? Do they believe that the earth is their friend? Does they believe that the world is their friend and everyone's awesome and they're optimistic? Or do they believe that everyone's kind of out to get each other and it's kind of like a pessimistic thing? You know, that's moving away towards. So I try to find out these meta things about them. Is your market a match or a mismatch type person? So for example, if I put two quarters in my hand, I said, Josh, what do you notice here about these two quarters? If you say, well, they're both quarters, then that means you're a match person. You're looking for what's the same about them. versus someone who's naturally looking for the differences will be like, well, that one's more beat up than that one, and that one's heads, that one's tails. Then that means that person's looking for the difference. So the copy will be completely different. And it's fascinating stuff. So I like to go meta. And you do this through surveys. You can find out, you can ask these kind of leading questions to get, in general, what kind of people your market are. And you're like, oh, and then from there, the copy becomes infinitely easier because you're not like rubbing them the wrong way from the start. That rapport is instantly there because, you know what I mean? So like, because you don't know if your market is the type of person who needs reverse psychology. Or here's one more meta program that's really cool to find out is, are they a person who looks internally for validation and for validation of something, or is it to other people? You know, like if I were to say to someone, how do you know when you're finally successful? And if they say, well, everyone, you know, tells me I am, and I'm in this book, or I got this, you know what I mean? Then you know that they're looking for other people as the validation they're successful. Or if they say, you know, I'll know when I'm there because this is something that I've worked for a long time. You know what I mean? And they're inward and they're saying, no, I define my success. So these meta programs, you get through surveys, you get through talking to your market, you get through just paying attention to the way your market speaks. If you know these things, the copy becomes very easy.
No, that's cool. And I mean, it brings a whole different perspective into it and really understanding. I'm glad you said, hey, here's how we go do that, is we use surveys and things. That was going to be my follow-up question. So you already were leading with it.
I know people are going to ask, because everyone's like, because that's one thing when people give advice, it's like the what to do is there, but nobody ever gives the how to. And so, I mean, there's the surveys, and then this sounds like cliche, or maybe not cliche because we're talking about some kind of new shit, but like listening, like if you're in Facebook groups, or if your market's on Facebook, wherever your market is, listen to the way they talk. I mean, and you can get this stuff out of them. And once you know these things, like those meta programs I just queued up, if you have those there and you start to listen to what they're saying or read what they're writing, you'd be like, and you'll start to get it. And you'd be like, oh, okay, this is that kind of person. So I know I need to use reverse psychology on them. You know what I mean? Like, you know who they are. So it's like, you know what'll influence them. Therefore, the actual writing of the copy becomes a lot easier.
And I know one of the things I noticed too, like in your copy, I guess, is, say, direct. Would that be like you get right to the point, but then you kind of bring you through a story almost?
People say it's like on point. And I tried to actually think about, like, as a wordsmith, I'm like, what the fuck does that even mean? What does on point mean? And you said direct. And so there's something about the sharpness, on point, direct. Something about the sharpness of it. So I think what it is is I get very specific on the point I want to make, point, and then I try to say that clearly, but in a way, like, I try to introduce a concept. I try to introduce that point. I'm really just trying my best to describe something I do unconsciously. I try to say that point in a controversial way. It's like, what you think isn't actually what you think it is, and people are like, huh? Like, what do you mean? And then I take that direct point, and then I explain it with analogies and stories and metaphors. Those are really my secrets to copy: analogies, metaphors, similes. And then I just basically try to, it's almost like a diamond. I start with the direct point, and then I work my way proving it through examples with analogies, metaphors, and everything to lock it in. And then I come back and I come back at it with a head, and then smash it to a finish.
That's a cool way to describe it, the diamond.
Yeah, it's the first time I just made that up. So
yeah, you're like, man, I'm gonna have a whole other course here when I'm done.
That's right, man. I'll be making bank. This show really does work.
So one of the things you're doing now is consulting, bringing people in, and holding training groups, you know, over in the Philippines, I think in Mexico, just some different international destinations. Are you focused on writing copy a whole lot right now, or is it more the training and that side of things?
So right now I'm only writing copy for myself. I haven't written copy for a client in over a year. So we're just writing copy for our own product. So right now I'm in full training mode. So we released a copywriting program. So of course I had to do a massive sales letter for that, because you have to prove your copy. It's funny, you have to prove your copy course with the copy. So that copy has to be so on point, it's ridiculous, because it's selling, you're selling through example of what you're doing. Yeah. And so we've been working on that. I've also, like, the coaching consulting thing is not a niche that I'm really in anymore. That's why I wrote a book, and that's why we have a program on it, is so that I can put that behind me, even though, like, the information is completely relevant. That's there for people, because I don't want to stick to a niche. I don't want to be, you know, the coaching consulting guy. I don't want to just be the copywriting guy. Copywriting is still just a tool, to a means to an end. So right now I'm totally focused on training, man. Like, it's nothing beats the in-person training. Like, you know, I mean, like, you can do a course, you can do a video, but you're just speaking to a screen. Like, the stuff like us, like you and I speaking together or in person, is even a lot better, because you just can really feel what the person, and I'm really intuitive, and I almost think of myself as almost like a business therapist sometimes, where, like, they don't even know the question they're trying to ask, but I already know the answer that of what they want, what they need. I can look at somebody and already know exactly where they, what they need to be. So I really enjoy that one-on-one stuff. And that's why we do the trainings in person, really.
That's awesome. And you guys kind of do more of a small group, I think. Isn't that like 8 to 10 people kind of things?
Yeah, it depends on the subject. So for copywriting, I will do, I'll do 30 to 50. But on, like, for example, in August, we have a positioning retreat, and that's full now. But that's only 10 people, because when positioning and personal branding and all of that, you got to be, it's so nuanced and it's so personal that I can't just talk and have them do some exercises. It's a really personal thing.
Cool. No, that's awesome. What, I know we got a few minutes left. What, would be the best piece of advice or insights you could leave, you know, as an entrepreneur, kind of, that you've learned to move their business forward, whether it's copy, whether it's some of the things that you consult and coach on?
I'll give two, because I'll try to make them fast. So the first one actually is a big one that I actually wrote a post about literally right before I got on this on the conversation with you, is that the idea that deciding a good habits and sticking to those is better than the thing that you're trying to even build the habit for in the first place. So Terry Crews, if you know that guy, Terry Crews is like, go to the gym every day. He's like, I don't care if you sit there and read a book all week. I don't care if you sit there and on your Facebook for a month. He said the habit of going every day is far more important long term than any kind of workout that you could ever do. And he said that alone, like the workout or the habit of going every day will never fail you. Because by the time you're 80, like, you'll be jacked. You know what I mean? Like, it'll never fail you. But, like, if you don't focus on the habit, you're focusing on the result or the thing all the time. Anytime something goes along, with the market can screw you, your own willpower can mess with you. But if you have the habit every day, even if you don't follow the action, but you still have the habit of going to the gym, for example, or reading a good book, or, you know, doing something every day to close a deal, then that over time will never fail you. It's like a solid investment strategy. It's like that consistent over time will never fail you, even though there's ebbs and flows.
Right. Yeah. No, that's awesome.
So that is not too actionable. That's more of like a theoretical thing, but it's a great way to look at things. But one of my best piece of advice is understanding what marketing is in general. Most people don't really understand. And so, like, marketing is everything you do to get someone to the party, and sales is what happens after they walk through the door. So I want people to understand and come away with that marketing is like, you're not selling a product. You're not selling a thing. People aren't buying a thing. They're buying a result. And even further, they're buying the benefit or the result that they're going to get from your product. So they're never buying the product. The product's just a conduit. It's just a mechanism for a result. So another way to say this is that marketing, you're not selling a product, you're selling the story of who they are if they buy the product. And if you can understand that, then you can understand that instead of selling the product, you sell the idea of who they are if they buy it. And that is huge, I think, for people. If they could understand, it takes them all out of their head of, like, what about me? What about this? What about this? What about the product? What about, like, our shipping? What about all this clutter going on in their mind? It's like, no, stop it. It's like, tell them the story of who they are if they use it. And Apple does this beautifully, like, you know, with, like, their branding. It's like, you know exactly what kind of person you are if you buy an Apple product. They keep it simple. They just sell the story and the feeling of who you're going to be if you buy it. And it just so happens that the Apple product is the product, but that's not what they're selling.
Right. Yeah. I remember way back when they did the Apple PC commercials, and the PC guy was kind of the nerdy geeky guy. And then the Apple guy was the cool guy.
Yeah. He was a cool guy. That's right. That's right. Yeah. So you're not buying the Apple computer. You're buying the coolness factor.
Yeah.
And to be honest, like, and really what this is, to cap this off, like, especially if you're selling, like, if you're selling business information, you're selling really anything, actually, you're selling people back usually the conf, because you're like, what is the cool guy? It's someone feeling confident in their own skin or feeling confident. So what's interesting is, like, most of the time you're not even selling the product. You're selling them their own confidence back to them.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's, you know, they, helping them discover what they already have there, or kind of break out of their current shell or patterns, I guess you could say. Well, cool. I know in the very beginning too, you mentioned right before we jumped on, you had a awesome copy guide you wanted to give out to the listeners.
Yeah, I want to give a few things away for free. So, because eventually I want you guys to buy my shit, but that's just disrespectful. I haven't quite earned it yet, so I want to give you some free stuff to prove it first. So the first thing is actually, it's our $1 million sales recipe. So what we've done is it's a 21 step sales copy recipe that you can, it tells you exactly what to do. I even framed it like a recipe. Like, I actually even worded it like a recipe, like 2 servings of this, 3 helpings of that. But really what it is it's from start to finish, it's exactly what you need, how you need to structure a good piece of long form copy that will sell a product or a service. And I give that away completely for free. That's at go.copypenthouse, because our program's called Copy Penthouse. So it's go.copypenthouse.com/$1 million recipe. I know that's a lot to write. I apologize. And
we got the link right over here, so it'll be
yeah exactly.
Click on it.
And the other thing I want to give away for free, there's no upsell or anything involved in it. I just like to give it away. It's called themillerfiles.com. My last name's Miller, so it's themillerfiles.com. And really what it is, it's a library of cheat sheets, blueprints, webinars, books, courses, videos, articles, all of my stuff, really, in one big giant library. And it's there all for free. Everyone can just go and my sales letters, they're all there too. You know, a lot of copywriters don't post their sales letters, but I post them all there too for everyone to look at and to model from.
So. Super cool. That's awesome, man. Thank you. Well, no, I just want to say thanks for coming on the show today, sharing your insights and some really cool topics and strategies and stuff for people to really go out and take some action, implement, you know, in their marketing and everything right now. So again, thanks for spending the time and coming on Making Bank.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Where can people find out about you besides going to get the free links?
Besides getting the free stuff. Yeah, we'll retargeting you. Opposemedia.com that's our main site. It's opposemedia.com. And that's our blog. We got a bunch of articles and videos.
Cool. Awesome. And then I know you're always on Facebook, so find him on Facebook, and he's always posting.
If you want my gems, I post like 4 or 5 times a day. That might sound obnoxious to you, but a lot of people say it's some of the best stuff that they've ever read every day. So that's on my personal Facebook profile. You can find that there. I think I reached my friend limit, but you can follow me there.
Awesome. Well, you need that fan page, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, hey guys, make sure you grab some of Mitch's information. He has some great copy out there. Start reading through it, taking those pieces that he mentioned and, you know, implementing them in your business. There may be big chunks of it that don't fit you, or there may be big chunks that do fit you, but grab what applies and just take that action and implement and start making that a habit every single day. So again, thanks for watching Making Bank. Mitch, thanks for coming on Making Bank, and you guys get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review, and sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, Success Thinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.